Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning. It's the 27th of December. Can you believe it? The 27th of December is one of those in-between times. Christmas and Boxing Day and all the celebrations have been and gone, and we find ourselves in this no man's land between Christmas and New Year. Some of you may really love this in-between time. Christmas preparations can be so much work, and maybe now you get a bit of rest. For others, though, this is a difficult time because the adrenaline of Christmas has worn off and maybe we feel a bit low. We're actually in a double in-between time, not just between now and the new year, but also between a vaccine, at least in our part of the world, arriving, and then actually turning the corner on this pandemic. So how should we approach this time? Looking back on 2020 and the year that it has been, and looking forward to the new year. There's a popular song by the DJ Avicii that goes, "Wake me up when it's all over." Some of us just want to hibernate, just put our head down, climb under our duvet, and I have to confess, it's tempting, right? It's tempting to escape into Netflix, into some sort of alternate reality, and just to say, "Wake me up when this thing is all over." But if we do that, if we give in to that temptation, we might miss what God has for us in this in-between time. In this morning's passage, we will look at two characters, two of my favorite characters, Simeon and Anna, two people who lived in an in-between time. They waited a very long time, most of their lives, in fact, to see the promised Messiah. What stands out to me is not just that they waited, but how they waited. They waited so well. Let's take a look at what we can learn from them. Luke 2, verses 25 to 40. We jump in after the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph were fulfilling the Jewish custom of bringing Jesus to the temple when he was around 40 days old. So from verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, waiting for God to comfort Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Led by the Spirit, he came into the temple. As Jesus' parents brought him in to do for him what the law's regulations required, he took the baby in his arms and blessed God with these words, 'Now, Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace, just as you said. These eyes of mine have seen your salvation, which you made ready in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations, and glory for your people Israel.' His father and mother were astonished at the things that were said about him, and Simeon blessed them. 'Listen,' he said to Mary, his mother, 'this child has been placed here to make many in Israel fall and rise again, and as a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will go through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be disclosed.' There was also a prophetess called Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having been widowed after a seven-year marriage, and was now 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped with fasting and prayer night and day. She came up at that moment and gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus to everyone who was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So when they had finished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong and was full of wisdom, and God's grace was upon him." There is so much that we can learn from these two faithful servants. How did they do it? How did they wait for so long? Anna is 84. And while this passage doesn't state Simeon's age, scholars believe he was getting on in years as well. I find it hard to wait for 10 minutes for something, but these two spent decades in an in-between time in a time of waiting. So in true preacher style, this morning we're going to look at three things that we can learn from Simeon and Anna and their journey and their waiting. The first is patience. Throughout the scriptures, we see a God whose mission is unhurried and unstoppable. That's how Alan Kreider puts it in a book called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church. Unhurried and unstoppable. God is patient. He does not measure time in the way that we do. And if we want to do this in-between time well, we need to learn how to be patient. Patience is not only at the heart of the character of God and embodied by the Son of God, but it is a mark of Jesus' followers to this day. Patience is one of the character traits that sets Simeon and Anna apart. They waited and waited and waited and waited for this Messiah. And yet, they were human, which means that they probably weren't perfect, and they must have had days and moments where they lacked patience and didn't feel like waiting any longer. But we don't measure their patience in a day or a moment. We measure it over a lifetime. We deem them to be patient due to the length of time that they waited. Let me illustrate this so that you can see what I mean. I thought my kids did really well in car journeys. Then we went to America, where a car journey is as long as the length of this island, and they couldn't cope. Patience isn't measured in small journeys. It's measured over the long haul. And so the good news for us is that this is how we should think of our own lives when it comes to patience. And so if today's snapshot of your life is one where you are lacking in patience, then rather than beating yourself up over it and thinking that you have failed, maybe it's time to take the long view, the lifetime view, with patience, to begin to set your life's trajectory, your compass, toward a life of patience. Simeon and Anna are not seen as patient because they were perfect, but because over a lifetime, they did not lose heart. They didn't give up. They still believed God's promises to be true, even though what they were waiting for took a very, very long time to materialize. Have you lost heart? Have you lost sight of what you're waiting for? Simeon and Anna had something really worth waiting for. And I think waiting well, living patiently, requires us to know what and who we are waiting for. One of the early church fathers, Justin, described Christians as embodying a strange patience. Strange because it was so unusual and so evident to those outside of the church that it resulted in many joining the church. That's how compelling their patience was. At a time when Christians were being persecuted and martyred for their faith, they stood out because of their patience. They stood out because of their unwavering confidence in the promises of God and in the person of Jesus. I really want to learn that kind of patience, don't you? What we have faced in recent months, in the year of 2020, has not been anything near persecution, but it has profoundly challenged us. We have had and still have in front of us the perfect opportunity to practice patience. What if we emerged out of this pandemic more patient? What if we learned from Simeon and Anna and from the early church? They are such wonderful role models for us. The second takeaway from this passage is discernment. In-between times require massive amounts of discernment. Israel was waiting for a Messiah, But they weren't expecting a helpless baby born in a stable. So many people, even religious people, completely missed the Messiah. And yet Simeon and Anna didn't. Somehow, they were able to see what others could not. Imagine the scene at the temple, if you can. Picture the many families with their offerings and their newborns coming in and milling about. Simeon and Anna had never laid eyes on Mary or Joseph or Jesus before, but both of them were able to discern which baby was the Messiah. We generally think of discernment as knowing the difference between good and evil, and that is definitely a key part of it. But discernment can also be about knowing one good thing from another good thing. I'm sure all the babies in the temple that day were also lovely. None of them were Satan or evil. Every family was there to receive a blessing, but only one of those children was Jesus. I would love to be able to interview Simeon and Anna and ask them how they knew which family to approach, which baby was the one. How did they know? How could they see what everyone else around them seemed to miss? My prayer for us as a community is that the Holy Spirit would increase our discernment, our ability to see. That we would practice listening to God, learning to recognize His voice, so that when He says go, like He did to Simeon, go to the temple now, that we are ready to go. And so that on the days when we just want to hibernate and pull the duvet over our heads and wait for a vaccine, that instead we do what Anna did, and that is to pray and to worship and to fast. These are very strange days. We need so much discernment. We need to know how to follow Jesus in this in-between time. Discernment isn't about hiding away in our prayer closet and seeking special magical knowledge and insight. Discernment is about being able to see what God is doing so that we can participate. Simeon and Anna had an active part to play. My guess is it might not have looked like anything they imagined, but it didn't throw them off course. That is something that we can learn at this time. Just because things don't look the way that we expected, they look different than what we thought it would, that doesn't mean that God isn't in them. I have a really wonderful and helpful spiritual director. I was talking to her at one point in the pandemic when everything felt really chaotic and we were homeschooling and working from home and I was really stressed. And she asked me one day, where is Jesus in all of that swirl? Where is Jesus? I needed to discern where Jesus was in the midst of my everyday life. Where is Jesus in your everyday? Are you looking for Him? Are you looking to participate and act upon the things that He shows you? That's what discernment is all about. The third point that we're going to talk about today is prophecy. Prophecy is woven throughout this story and the lives of Simeon and Anna. Even though this passage is actually one of my very favorite Bible passages, I almost did a complete U-turn when I saw just how prominent prophecy is throughout this story. Why? Well, I'm going to be honest, I've been struggling with prophecy in the church in this season. Not in our church, I think our prophetic team are amazing, but in the wider church. And so I really didn't want to speak about prophecy. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to talk about it. But it's all over this passage, and so I couldn't really honestly avoid it. In a nutshell, here's what I've been finding difficult. I have been increasingly uncomfortable with the marriage between certain prophetic voices and political agendas and the resulting proximity to political power, particularly in the US. And I am really uneasy about the level of wealth and fame associated with some prophets. To top it off, it's not easy to tell in some cases where the accountability is or even if there is any. I know, of course I know, that not everyone who claims to be prophetic actually is a prophet. I know that we must do what I just talked about and discern what God is saying to us rather than simply following the person with the most followers on social media. I know all of that, but I was really irritated. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just consider yourself really blessed not to know about any of those things. What I want to say, though, is that this passage brought me back round again. Simeon and Anna turned the lights on for me again. Why? Because their lives and their prophecies point to Jesus. And instead of building platforms for themselves, they turned the attention of the people onto Jesus. And if that's what prophecy is all about, if that's what it does, then I can be back on board with it again. But enough about me and my issues. Let's now look at prophecy in this passage. So as I said earlier, Anna was a known prophetess. We see in Anna how this gift of prophecy is cultivated over a lifetime. It says she never left the temple. She worshiped day and night and fasted. If you want to grow in prophecy, start there. Start with praying and worshiping and begin to press into fasting. And then keep doing it over decades. Build your altar, your place of worship, in your home, in your car, where it is, wherever it is that you spend your time. Learn to cultivate that intimacy with God. Keep Jesus and the worship of Jesus at the center. Let prophecy be the overflow, not the main attraction. So that's Anna, a really inspiring character to say the least. And Simeon may have been a priest, but in this passage, he's prophesying. Luke tells us that Simeon is filled with the Spirit and responsive to the Spirit of God. When he is told to go, he goes. When God speaks, he listens and he believes. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise that the Holy Spirit speaks prophetically through Simeon in the temple. Verse 30 says, Simeon takes Jesus into his arms and says, "These eyes of mine have seen your salvation, which you made ready in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and glory for your people Israel." And after blessing the family, he goes on to prophesy over Mary. This child has been placed here to make many in Israel fall and rise again, and as a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will go through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be disclosed. This is perhaps not what Mary wanted to hear, but I wonder, did she think of this prophecy when she felt that her soul had been pierced, when she watched her son die on a cross? Did she find comfort and encouragement as she remembered this word from Simeon? Luke also tells us that Mary and Joseph were astonished. Have you ever had someone prophesy over you? Maybe you know that feeling of comfort or strengthening or even astonishment, that sense that God sees you, he knows you, that sense that God is with you and leading you, that you are part of a bigger story than just what you can see in front of you. As we said earlier, prophecy points to Jesus. So many times a prophetic word has caused me to see or to remember what Jesus is doing and what he is calling me to. Maybe you have never had a prophecy spoken over you. Our prophetic team would love to meet with you, and we've been running regular prophetic sessions on Zoom. So if you're interested, look out for those in the new year, and please do sign up. Some of you need to look through your journals, your voice memos, or however you keep a record of those significant moments with God. And you need to remind yourselves, you need to remember what God has spoken to you in the past. Simeon and Anna remind us that God is always speaking, even in between times when it's hard to see the road ahead. Prophecy strengthens us in the waiting. It helps us to see in those dark times. Our world is so full of noise. Perhaps just like the temple that day was probably full of noise, but we need to listen out for the voice of God in the midst of the noise. As I close, I want to talk about something that we as a community have been waiting for together. a shared dream of a permanent church home. While we know that the kingdom is not bricks and mortar, we do long to have a space to call our own. We have had so many prophetic words about buildings, not just from within our community, but from people all over the world. We have discerned, we have prayed together. And we've had to be so patient because we haven't seen it yet. It hasn't happened yet. In fact, we've had many potential opportunities fall through. My sense is to tell you, to tell us as a community, that actually we have really waited well. Yes, we've had our moments of frustration, but when you look at us over the course of the years, we have not given up. So let's continue to do what Simeon and Anna did. Keep on praying, worshiping, and fasting, and let's be ready, as they were, when that time comes. For all of us watching today, whether you are part of BCV or just visiting us this morning, we're all in this in-between time. Whatever your circumstances, it's not wasted time. It is a time of preparation. It is pregnant with possibility. So let's grab hold of the prophecies and the promises of God. Let's seek discernment and let us practice as Simeon and Anna did, a strange patience. So strange that it piques the curiosity of those around us. So strange that we see a fresh wave of salvation in our time. This passage in Luke drew to mind another passage of scripture, and I will read it out and we'll move straight from there into our closing prayer. So if you're watching this with me right now, why don't you put your hands out and just be ready to receive from the Lord and to receive this word of scripture over your life. The prophet Joel says in chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, "Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so we pray, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit on us. As we stand at the transition point between a very difficult year and the start of a new one, we surrender our fear and our disappointment. And we say, pour out your spirit. We thank you for the Simeons and the Annas in our community, the men and women of faith. Thank you for how they have waited well over decades. And we pray, pour out your spirit afresh on them right now. I have a sense, especially for those of you that are in your 60s and 70s and 80s, firstly, we're so thankful for you in our community. And secondly, I just have a sense that the Holy Spirit wants to visit you in a really powerful way. For the young and the old, and for those in between, we pray, pour out your spirit. May we dream dreams and see visions, and may we lead many to Jesus. We pray that in the year ahead, we would see more salvations than we have ever seen. We pray, pour out your spirit on this island and on this city of Belfast. We also pray boldly for a church home, for a fulfillment of the prophetic words that you have spoken over this community over many years. Pour out your spirit. And lastly, we humbly submit ourselves to you, Jesus. We pray, would you help us to wait well and not to miss what you are doing in our time and in our day, in this in-between time, and in the year ahead. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.